The name of today's message is to discover, I would like for you to discover the secret of Shabbat. So, as a preamble to this, I'd like us to go to use the Bible. So, you have a Bible? Please go to Deuteronomy chapter 16. And it says, beginning in verse 1, observe the month of Aviv and keep the Passover to Adonai your God. For in the month of Aviv, Adonai your God brought you out from Egypt by night. You are to sacrifice the Passover offering to Adonai your God from the flock and the herd in the place that Adonai chooses to make his name dwell. You're not to eat chametz with it. For 7 days you are to eat matzot, unleavened bread, the bread of affliction. For you came out from the land of Egypt in haste. Do this so that all the days of your life you will remember the day when you came out from the land of Egypt. No chametz should be seen with you in all your territory for 7 days. And none of the meat you sacrifice on the evening of the first day may be left overnight until the morning. You may not sacrifice the Passover offering within any of your gates that Adonai your God is giving you, but rather at the place that Adonai your God chooses to make his name dwell. There you will sacrifice the Passover offering in the evening at sunset, the time of your coming out from Egypt. You are to cook and eat it as the place of Adonai your God chooses. Then you will turn around in the morning and journey home. For 6 days you are to eat matzot. On the seventh day there is to be a solemn gathering for Adonai your God. On it, you are not to do any work. That's a summary, a synopsis of the festival of Passover. Here's the second festival. 7 weeks you are to count for yourself. From the time you begin to put the sickle to the standing grain, you will begin to count 7 weeks. We probably don't understand that, but the first fruits offering is not the crop. The first fruit offerings are the grain in the plants that mature early. And so those would be taken by each of the farmers in the land of Israel around the Temple Mount, and they tie ribbons on it. Okay? They would tie ribbons on it to say, this is set apart for the Lord. They would bring that on the Feast of Unleavened Bread, okay, during the Passover, and on the Shabbat, they would place all of those in the Temple Mount, and the high priest would make a wave offering to Adonai from those. He would take from those, make a wave offering, okay? After that's done, you can go reap the harvest, okay? After that's done, now you can get the sickle and go get some for me or for your family or for your business. So that's what this refers to here. Then you will keep the Feast of Shavuot. Shavuot literally means weeks. To Adonai your God with a measure of free will offering from your hand, which you are to give according to how Adonai blesses you. So you will rejoice before Adonai your God in the place Adonai your God chooses to make his name dwell. You and your son and daughter, you slave and maid, the Levite and outsider, the orphan and the widow in your midst. And you will remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and you are to take care to do these statutes. The third one, Festival of Sukkot. Beginning in verse 13, you are to keep the Feast of Sukkot. Sukkot comes from the word sukkah. Sukkah is a singular. Sukkot is plural. Sukkah is feminine. It ends in a. So the plural for things that end in a is to change the ending a to ot. Sukkot. Which means tabernacles. Okay? After gathering in the produce from your threshing floor and wine press. See that, okay? This is now the summer fruits, the summer crops, you know, the dates, the grapes, all these things. And then, so now, you know, the cycle is complete. Now the land is produced, all it's going to produce, and all of it. At first you had the barley in Pesach, and you have the wheat in Shavuot, and now you have the rest of the fruits. So this festival has a name, the Feast of Ingathering. That says where you ingather all that you know, all the stuff that, you know, you need more than just bread, right? You need some sweet, you need some wine, you need some milk, you need some honey, all these things. And then it says in verse 14, so you will rejoice in your feast. Who's going to rejoice? You, your son and daughter, your slave and your maid, the Levite and the outsider, the orphan and the widows within your gates. 7 days you will feast to Adonai your God in the place he chooses. Because Adonai your God will bless you in all your produce and in all the work of your hand, and you will be completely filled with joy. So even the joy of the festival comes from him. It's interesting to me, we have to be commanded to rejoice. And that's so true in our world we live in. We almost never rejoice. We're always in a hurry and, you know, it's intense. It's intensity all the time. And how much joy is there in intensity? I cannot find too much. So, once a year, Adonai your God has said to us, time out. I'm going to bless you, and you're going to have such blessing that you will be able to come before me for 7 days and rejoice with me for 7 days. Not only that, it's not really because of anything you've done, it's because I'm going to bless you. You are going to be so blessed, your blessing thing is going to be so full, you'll be able to do this. So, it's also called the Festival of Joy, Simcha. Called Simcha, Sound of Joy. That's our festival. This Festival of the Sound of Joy is a Festival of Tabernacles. It's the last one, and it's an 8-day festival. Now, verse 16, so 16:16, attention all males. Attention all males, even young ones. 3 times a year, all your males are to appear before Adonai your God in the place he chooses. At the Feast of Matzot, which is Passover, during Passover. At the Feast of Shavuot. And at the Festival or Feast of Sukkot. I didn't say that. He did. It's interesting that, you know, the ladies aren't told they have to. We usually don't have to tell the ladies either that they need to learn how to love. Because they naturally know how to love. They bring forth children and they automatically love. Ladies are automatically equipped to love. Men, on the other hand, we have to be like, you gotta love. The ladies are always going to be ready for joy are always going to be ready to meet with the Lord. The men, on the other hand, it's a different story. Let me use my New England accent. A different story. But the Lord is interested in the men. Because if he gets the men, he gets the women and the children too. Because if the head of household is going to do something, mom and the kids come, get to come. Interesting. So, you, if you're female, you don't have a commandment in here in Deuteronomy that says you have to. But let me talk to the wimpos. The wimp society. The one that's emasculated today. I'm talking to us boys and men. And so was he. He's told us, this is not an option for you. Now the ladies come because they want to. The ladies come because they come with their husbands. The ladies come because they want to honor Adonai. But I want to tell you something. Ain't no excuses for us men and boys. This is not only affirmative, this is a command form of the Hebrew. He is commanding us to come. All right? The high holidays are coming. Sukkot is in October. It's 8 days. It goes from a Wednesday to a Wednesday, or actually from a Tuesday night to a Tuesday night, Wednesday for a whole week. And I will take inventory. Maybe I will have a roll and see which one of the men show up. And the ones that don't show up, we'll send a posse after you. Like in the old days. You know? Send a posse to come get you. So just so that you stay in the right kind of relationship with Adonai. Because we need him as men. We need him. We need him to equip us to work. We need to be blessed to be able to work and all those things. I know that society has imputed on ladies to work. And many of you ladies do work. And have work. Continue to work. But in the beginning, it was not so. I like to know, so the New Testament came, and that means that ladies go to work. Don't think so. That's relatively new. Relatively new. God bless you, ladies, because you do work. God bless you that you come alongside of us to help us to do these. But let not forget, men. The Lord didn't say for the ladies to go till the land in Genesis. The Lord didn't say he gave the ladies a nice thing like I'm going to multiply your sorrow in childbirth. But for us, he said, you are going to work that land and sweat it. And then from that is going to come your nourishment. We have such an important role to play. The preachers showed up. And I wasn't going there. But I'm out of control. I'm under the control of the Holy Spirit. And he made sure that I read this to you before I even start. Oh boy. No one should appear before Adonai empty-handed. The nice scripture, you know, if you want to collect tithes and offerings. I didn't say it. And he's actually really talking to the men. Essentially, really talking to the men. That's the context. Three times shall all you males appear before the Lord Adonai in the place that I choose. And continue, let's continue, dash. And no one needs to appear before him empty-handed. Well, the no one there doesn't mean the ladies. Doesn't mean the children. It doesn't mean the dog and the cat and the, you know, it means us. It might mean something for somebody else too, but it means us. If today you are in the category in the IRS of head of household, if you file that way as a head of household, if you're the only breadwinner in your house, by context, this applies to you as well. We have lots of those here. Praise God. I like to say, okay, how feminine are we? Well, let me count how many ladies are here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Do we have 13 men? Two in the back, then 2, 4, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Almost. Almost. Verse 17, the gift of each man's hand. Ah, so now it defines it for us. No one shall appear before the Lord empty-handed. The gift of each man's hand, according to the blessing Adonai your God has given you. That means that it's a percentage deal. According to the, you know, so a percent that applies. The more you have, the more you give. Percent the same. No, can you think? That's important. That's what precedes today's parashat. We happen to be in the month of Elul. In the month of Elul, we have one month that is like speaking to us. Every day we're supposed to blow the shofar. We should blow the shofar. And I've blown the shofar a lot more today than we have in any other service you've been to in the last few months. And it'll continue to be so. Because we are kind of ringing the bell, the shofar, that the time of meeting with the Lord, the fall high holidays around the corner. They're within 3 weeks or so. Then, it was so cool. We just sang today. I made sure that I highlighted that the Veshamru prayer. And Veshamru. It's in Hebrew, Veshamru. If you're from New York, Veshamru. Okay, but that's okay. It's the same thing, the accent, just a little different. Okay? So the song is Veshamru because they're from New York. If we were in Israel, it's Veshamru. Okay? The accent is on the U. Where does that come from? That comes from Exodus 31. And it's talking about Shabbat. And I want to discover the secret of Shabbat today. So let's go to the portion of scripture that we sang and said, but let's add some context. So this is in Exodus 31, verses 12 through 18. I'm reading from the TLV, and usually Jacob's able to find it, and we'll place it up there. Then Adonai spoke to Moses, saying, speak now to the Bnei Israel, saying, surely, in the King James Version is verily. Surely, verily, verily. Does that sound like anything like you've heard before? Yeshua saying, verily, verily, I say to you. The same construction. Oh, so Yeshua did not invent that. He copied it. Okay. Verily, verily, you must keep. That word keep means okay, means hold on to it, right? But here's what it actually says. The word is shomer. You must guard. Tishmeru. Future command form of the verb shomer. So the actual verb there, tishmeru. Okay? You must keep. Now and it's continual in the future of the verb shomer. You will keep my Shabbaton, my Sabbath. Shabbat. Shabbat ends with a tav. So things that end with a ah and a tav are feminine. So Shabbat is feminine form, the feminine gender. For it is a sign, ot. The ot is the like the Brit Milah is an ot. It's a sign of the covenant. The ring, the wedding ring, it's an ot. It's a sign of the covenant of marriage. It is a sign, it is an ot between me and you throughout your generations. So you may know that word there in Hebrew is yodea. So you may have intimate knowledge, is what it means. So you may have intimate knowledge that I am Adonai who sanctifies you. The word sanctify is kadosh. I make you kadosh. One of his names is Yah Mekadesh. Kadesh is the same as kadosh, different vowel. Okay? So Mekadesh, he meaning Yah Adonai who sanctifies you. Verse 14. Therefore, you are to keep. Here's it twice. You are to shomer the Shabbat. Because it is holy. Kadosh. For you. Everyone who profanes it will die. The King James Version says, surely will be put to death. But the King Version doesn't also say who's going to do the putting to death. So it doesn't say that we can commission people with guns and ammunition and axes and whatever. And if you don't show up for Shabbat, do a posse and come get you. And be justified to get you to come on your own feet. Or come in a casket. But come you will. Right? I'm kidding. For whoever does any work, how much? Any work during Shabbat. What? Well, how long is Shabbat?
Well, it's from 10 to 1 here. No.
Shabbat is a whole day. It starts Friday night at sundown and it ends Saturday night at sundown. I'm just reading what it says, okay? I'm not trying to beat you up or whatever. I'm just trying to get you to understand what it says. That soul will be cut off from the midst of his people. Now, the cutting off is done by, it doesn't say. It just says it will. He continues. Verse 15. Work is to be done for 6 days. But on the seventh day, it's a Shabbat of complete rest. You all don't really understand that when this was given to the nation of Israel for the first time, the entire world worked 24/7, 52 weeks. They work all the time. There was no such thing. A time off. There's no such thing in the world. But the Lord said, nah, not for my people. Not for my people. My people can work 6 days, but the seventh day, they're not going to work. That's revolutionary when it first came. Because one of the characteristics of people of God was that they rested, that they had Shabbat. The rest of the world around them did not. Did not. You want to check it out? Go ahead. You go check it out. If you find that I'm telling you a fib, then come back and defib me. It is holy to Adonai. Whoever does any work on the Shabbat will surely be put to death. Like I said, we could commission a posse. You know, in the church, you can come and go anytime you want to, huh? I was a pastor in the Church of God from 1980 until I became a Messianic rabbi, ordained in 96. But I started changing before then, when this congregation was formed. I was a pastor in the church. Okay, I know what I'm talking about. I was a pastor in the church. Okay? Now, in the United States, Sunday was special. And Publix didn't even open when I moved here. When I moved here in 1967, the Publix that existed, one of them, maybe the only one I knew about, was on 34th and University. That same little one. And you go there on Sunday and be like, uh-uh. There were other places that were not open on Sunday. Why? Because they wanted to honor the Christian Sabbath. To my knowledge, Publix is still a believing company. It's in the hands of people now. And some of those things have gone away. They went away while I was still in college here at the university. Verse 16, so B'nai Israel is to keep Shomer. That's the word Veshamru. The Shabbat, Veshamru B'nai Israel. To observe, la'asot, the infinitive of the verb to do. Oh, wait a minute. In order to keep Shabbat, you got to do. Okay, that means that one of those lazy boy chairs. I'm keeping Shabbat. What are you doing? Oh, by the way, I just noticed that your husband is outside. Uh-huh. So there's 13 boys, males, and 13 ladies. Hallelujah. Michael, you should have screamed. You're not gonna let I'm still just in the scripture, okay? To observe. The word observe, translated observe, is not to look at it. The word translated observe means to participate, right? You observe something, you participate. Not only are you looking at it, but you're involved in it. But in the Hebrew, there's no such thing. La'asot, to do. What are we going to do? Aha! That becomes the $64,000 question. It used to be a show. 64,000 means nothing nowadays. It had to be 64 billion. Okay. To observe, la'asot, which means to do. The Shabbat throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. Perpetual covenant. Is perpetual over? Is it over? See, you that are here, in the majority of you and us, the majority of us, our first encounter with the things of God, with Shabbat, is among the very first things that you're just going along, merrily rowing your boat in Christianity, okay? And you continue to quote the Ten Commandments and you quote the fourth one. And maybe you even quote it saying, you know, we're to keep Sunday and whatever. But it doesn't, they don't even dare do that. So keep the Shabbat and keep it holy. Okay? And you start going like, So, do the words have changed? Does the day have changed? Oh, well, is Monday no longer Monday? Is what Monday was now is not what was Monday at the Tower of Babel? And the answer is, to my knowledge, the days of the week have remained the days of the week. All seven of them. Okay? The Lord named 6 days. He named the first one one. He named the second one two. He named the third one three. Fourth, fifth, sixth. But when it came to Shabbat, seventh day is not going to be called seventh day. It's going to be called Shabbat. That name was assigned by him in the book of Genesis, right at the beginning of creation, or the conclusion of creation, you might say. It is a sign, it says, verse 17, an ought. It is a covenant sign. It is a covenant sign between me and Bnei Israel forever. By the way, you say, well, I'm not Bnei Israel. Oh, yes, you are. You've been grafted in. Okay? Well, I'm not a descendant of Abraham. Yes, you are. If you're Messiah Yeshua, you're a descendant of Abraham, an heir according to the promise. Well, I'm not a Jew. Well, you've been adopted. Adopted to what? Washington, D.C.? Puerto Rico? No? Okay. So it's talking about us. Not exclusively talking about the children of Israel with us with them. Okay? I'll go with them if it's inside the back of the bus. No problem. The bus is going there. Somebody had to sit in the back. I'll sit in the back. Because in 6 days Adonai made heaven and earth. And on the seventh day he ceased from work and rested. So, you can say, well, how much work was it speaking? As far as I know, the only thing that gives you money for speaking is teaching school. I don't think you get paid for speaking. Hardly anybody here gets paid for speaking. You got to be doing something. You know, talk's cheap, they say. So if I'm going to get paid for talk that is cheap, I ain't going to get no money. Well, let me look at the Hebrew. Okay? Vayinafash is the word rested in Hebrew. Vayinafash was the end of the prayer. Vayinafash is a vav conversive future tense verb. Of which verb? To animate. Pixar. To give life. Birth. It does not mean rest. Well, did they translate it that way? Well, you know, talk to them. It doesn't mean that he ceased working or he stopped being busy. It has more to do with refreshing the soul. Because nefesh means the soul. Vayinafash. The N-Fe-Shin. Nefesh. Okay? It means the refreshment of the soul, or one that will become refreshed. So that's when Jonathan Sattel says, quotes that scripture, for in 6 days Adonai made the heavens and the earth. And on the seventh day, he rested and was refreshed. That's how he quotes it. Verse 18, when he had finished speaking with him on Mount Sinai, he gave the two tablets of the testimony to Moses, the tablets of stone written by the finger of God. I'm going to do a little acting here. Here, Moses, Yud Hey, Vav Hey, signed, sealed, and delivered. And the thing that is chosen to present the Torah to the children of Israel, written on tablets of stone, is Shabbat. Shabbat. The distinction between Israel and the rest of the world at that time. Shabbat. These are the folks that are going to take the seventh day to cease from doing what kind of work? Well, let me elucidate. He, Adonai, was being creative. Oh, he was creating. Yeah, okay, well, you're being creative. You've been created by creating the world. And creativity takes something out of you, right? So he's creative. He created everything. Everything is done. And then he has the crown of creation. He's going to do it even better than what he's done. And he's got the guy sitting there asleep and feeling lonely and counting sheep and counting, you know, and naming animals and things. I mean, he doesn't have to till the soil until later. It's all taken care of. It's in the Garden of Eden. And he's like lonely. Okay? So the Lord says, you know, puts a man to sleep. He doesn't say, Hey, you, do you need somebody? Not what happened, right? He just puts him to sleep. Why? Because the guy is going to go out of his mind when he sees what's going to be made. He's going to go so out of his mind that he wouldn't be able to sleep anymore. He would just want to touch and grab. I think I'm describing guys. Guys understand what I'm saying. Okay? So the Lord puts a man to sleep, takes a rib from his side, not from his head, not from his toes, from side by side, you know, from around the heart, takes a rib and constructs the crown of creation. Eve. Chaya. Hava. Which means life. And the guy wakes up. The Bible did not record his first words out of his mouth. But when we were all smoking pot 50 years ago, the words would have been, wow. I only smoked it once. I was telling John, I did what? And it burned. I said, no, for me. Oops. So I did it once. All it takes is once, and so you're done. So I smoke pot, okay? Yeah, I inhale. I wasn't supposed to. I didn't know any better because I smoked cigarettes back then. What's worse? Okay. So I think that the guy woke up and goes, okay, let's calm it down. Let's just use, you know, a groovy word. Wow. Usually a guy goes, wow, when he recognizes the love of his life. Okay, I could take a poll and ask some husbands here. But the problem is, they ain't going to say anything different. Because if they try to say something different, there could be a problem in Houston. So Only when we're by ourselves somewhere, you know, like drinking tea, you know, and eating French fries or something, we would actually say what. But truth be known, I've met lots of guys in my life. I've leaded companies of men, 187 of them to be exact, in the military. And what men do when they find the right one, inside, they go, wow, man. Wow, man. Wow. Wow. And they will describe it. And if you're going to commensurate with the guy, you don't tell him what you think of what he thinks is beautiful. Let me prove that to you. If I were to ask all the men here, who's your favorite actress, I wouldn't get two answers that are the same. If I told you mine, you'd say, okay, so this one was special. Adonai made her, perfectly made for him. The man goes, wow. Okay? So the creation, when he got done with Eve, he had to take a break. So the origin of Shabbat comes from the creation of women. All the ladies are going to like me, and all the guys are not. So that's fine. All right. That's the preacher part. Now let's get to the meat part. I'm supposed to only have like 20 minutes. Whatever. So we are now in the Hebrew month of Elul. This is the sixth month. When the Hebrew month of Elul comes, we become aware that we only got a month to get ready for Yom Teruah. And then 10 days later, Yom Kippur. And then 5 days later, Sukkot. And then Sukkot lasts for 7 days. So I think that we all who have been in Messianic Judaism a long time know that the fall high holidays are coming and that they're going to be demanding. What do you mean demanding? We're going to be in the presence of the Lord 22 days from Tishri 1 to Tishri 22, we're going to be there 12 of them. 12 is more than half of 22, which is 11. So when that's done, when Sukkot is done, the rabbi wants to go, leave me alone. I want to take a break. So usually that's when we do an activity every year. The verses that immediately precede Torah portion, which is called Shoftim, give the overview of the festivals, establishing required times for all males to appear before the Almighty. And I read that to you. Where is that? Deuteronomy 16:16. That's easy to remember. 16:16. All males, 3 times a year, shall all you males appear before Adonai your God in the place that he chooses at the Feast of Matzot, the Feast of Shavuot, and the Feast of Sukkot. So we men have a direct command to appear. That means show up. Okay, you have to kind of define it for the guys. What do you mean appear? Show up. You got to show up at the Moadin of the Almighty. Therefore, the bride body is told that there are going to be some special times of communication and intimacy. Right? This is to the body. The children of Israel were Am Segula. They were the bride body at that time. And now that bride body has been expanded and includes us. Okay, so they were given three times a year communication and intimacy. However, note the following. Marriages need a little more than 3 times a year to the great chagrin of husbands. You know, the ladies want to hear, I love you. And some of us go, Well, I said I loved you back then, and I meant it. I ain't changed my mind. And I ain't going to get you nothing. They got to hear it all the time. There has to be communication, which is translated in marriage as tiki birds. Tiki birds, right? And a lady feels loved when the husband sits down and listens, I've heard, okay? Hopefully, my bride would say, but I won't even ask. I ain't taking no chances. All right? So, however, know that all marriages require that time. That's true of marriage in general. There has to be, you know, some tiki bird time so that you can have intimacy time. For a lady, tiki bird time precedes intimacy time. For a guy, I won't even talk about what happens. It should not be a surprise to you, therefore, that the Almighty decided to make a weekly date with us. Because we need intimacy and we need special times of communication. And that is called Shabbat. Shabbat. That's called Shabbat. Adonai does provide a complete cycle of the appointed times. That's the Moadim in Leviticus 23. This is easy. Go to Leviticus 23, verse 1. I'm going to go to Leviticus 23, verse 1. Don't even have to. The title on the TLB Bible is Biblical Feasts. Verse 1. Then Moses came up with this big idea. No. Adonai spoke to Moses saying, speak to Bnei Israel and tell them, these are my appointed festivals. These are my appointed Moadim of Adonai, which you are to proclaim to be holy convocations. They're mine, my Moadim, said Adonai. Verse 3. Work may be done for 6 days. Oh, I like that it says may be done because some of us, our work, it doesn't get much done. I didn't want to be a dean because I couldn't imagine spending 40 hours a week in being protected by a secretary. And my object of the day is to speak to wherever Yehu comes in. If I speak all day, I feel like I've done nothing. So I became a teacher, a university professor, so anyway. Work may be done for 6 days, but the seventh day is a Shabbat, a solemn rest. The word solemn, you see, hear that word? A holy convocation, you hear that? A holy convocation. You are to do no work. Not work at all. It is a Shabbat to Adonai in all of your dwellings, so you don't have an excuse. So if you don't live in Hale Plantation, right, and you don't live in the ritzy place of the city, and you live in Montioka, that's where I live. Where is that? In the middle of nowhere. Okay, so even if you, in all your dwellings, that means the rabbi's dwelling has to do it, and John's dwelling has to do it. Everybody has to do it. Look, he introduces the Moadim, but the first thing he says, every week, you can work for 6 days. You may work for 6 days. Doesn't say you have to work for 6 days. Those of you that are, that, you know, like men, most men I know, work their butt off. And when they take time off, they work. They don't know how to take time off. Most men I know, especially the good ones, the ones in this congregation. To say to some of our men here, what are you going to be doing this Saturday? Shabbat. Got it. Good answer. So what are you going to be doing Sunday? Projects. I'm going to fix an air conditioning. I'm going to fix a house. I'm going to fix. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And you say, do you ever take time off? And they look at you with this look like, Kids, on the other hand, man, we love time off. But the beginning of the list of Moed is Shabbat. This is a weekly Moed. Moed, nonetheless. There's a thing called the law of first and last mention in Scripture. So what's the first Moedim mentioned? It's in Genesis chapter 1. Shabbat! Shabbat is the first Moed. It's a Moed. It's a high holy day. It's a high holy day. And you come in to rehearse, which is what Moedim are. Rehearsals. Shabbat is the rehearsal of what? Of intimacy with Adonai. It's a rehearsal of the wedding. It's a rehearsal. It's all kinds of things. So I have a secret for you. I've got a secret. Okay? Before going there, please note that the word to guard, to keep, is the word shomer. We are supposed to shomer the Shabbat, keep the Shabbat. By the way, shomer refers to a guard, a legal guard in the military. These are soldiers, and when they're appointed guard duty, they better do it. The one thing that could get me out of Vietnam was to mess up guard duty, because they would have kicked me out of the ROTC program instantaneously with a dishonorable discharge. Believe me, I was tempted. I didn't want to go to Vietnam, but the whole idea of failure or just shooting the sergeant a bird or whatever, it was not in my mind, even as lost as I was. So I kept my Shabbat, my guard duty. It is precious. In fact, it has to be guarded. That's why there's a guard guarding things on guard duty. Duh, duh, duh. Soldiers face stiff consequences for neglecting their guard duty properly. In the Uniform Code of Military Justice, that is the book for the military, it says that you are to be court-martialed if you neglect guard duty. Period. The same thing holds true for us. Look, we are being told to guard Shabbat. What if we don't want to? Well, I don't want to. I don't want to. I want to stay in bed. I want to rest on Shabbat. No. The words don't justify that. What do you do when you rest? That's what we do. Make noises. The jungle is up, appears in your home. When the jungle is going really good in my house, I make a joke. I said, I'm scared. And the other voice says, you're scared of what? There was a strange animal something making noises in our bathroom. So I'm scared. And now she knows too. Oh, I said she. Could be the kids too. She knows, like, okay. By the way, notice that in the text, it says the there's discipline, and it's heavy discipline if you don't show Merer Shabbat. And the heavy discipline is death. In the UMJC, the Uniform Code of Military Justice, UCMJ, okay, in the Uniform Code of Military Justice, which is what governs the military, it was court-martial, which would result in either incarceration, as a minimum, you'd be kicked out. But usually there was incarceration besides that. We were told that. So that we could enjoy getting ready to go to Vietnam. Awesome. Just awesome. As a young 17-year-old, I thought it was awesome. Not really, but. When there is an occurrence of something that's weighty like that in the Torah, that carries the penalty of death, we know that what is being taught is a principle of Torah. We see something that's either life or death, holy or unholy, clean or unclean. There is no third possibility. To step out of the realm of life means to step into the realm of death. So, question, how do you stay in the realm of life? How do you walk in the realm of life? Ah, that's the secret of Shabbat. I got a secret. I got a secret for you. The secret of Shabbat. Where do you find the secret of Shabbat? In the book of Hebrews. Not where you thought. So, in the fourth chapter of Hebrews, we find that Shabbat is Elohim's portrait of who we are in Messiah and what the good news is really all about. Well, the portrait is actually, it was in Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 2, the Lord said through the Apostle Paul that he wasn't just talking about man and woman and marriages, but he was talking about the Messiah and his bride. Okay, what's important is what the portrait is about. Who is the portrait about? It's his portrait, the Lord's portrait. It teaches us Elohim's definition of the really good news. There's the good news and then the really good news. You see, anyone who has believed in Messiah has entered into Elohim's spiritual rest. After all, spiritual rest is almost as important, if not more, than physical rest. The rest is identified as being nothing less. The rest that we're going to enter into Messiah is defined in Hebrews as Shabbat rest. The rest of our soul, the rest of our spirit, the rest that is associated with the Lord himself is associated for us with Shabbat. Nothing less than a Shabbat rest. Let me read it for you. Hebrews 4:10. For the one who's entered into Elohim's rest has himself also rested from his works, just as Elohim did from his. Hebrews 4:10. The rest that's being implied here is intended to be rest like the Lord's rest. It says so literally. They're going to rest like the Lord rested. How did he rest after he finished creating Eve? He ceased creating. He ceased doing creative work. And his soul, Vayina Fash, was become alive again, which is Nefesh, is what makes the living soul. The Elohim breathed on the man. In the book of Ezekiel, The bones were together and everything, but the bones didn't were not alive. So what happened? Elohim breathed on the bones and they became a living army. They became a living soul. That's how he created man. He breathed on the man and he became a living soul. Where do you find that the Lord rested? Where is that the Lord rested? Well, it's in Genesis chapter 2. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, along with everything in them. On the seventh day, God was finished with his work, which he had made. So he rested. Vayinafash. Vayishbot, the same. From the verb Shabbat. On the seventh day, from all his work. His work is melachto in Hebrew, which means work, craft, skill, trade, vocation, occupation, or labor. From his creativity, which he had made. What was the work that he'd been doing? He'd been speaking forth creation. And the Lord said, let there be light. And there was light. And the light was good. I mean, in some ways you go like, I wish I could speak money. I like to speak groceries in my refrigerator and steaks. And yeah, man. What I've been doing? He's been picking forth the creation of the world and all of the inhabitants therein. The text says that Elohim stopped, ceased, stopped doing his craft. He stopped for a minute doing the most important thing that needed to be done, which is creation. He stopped his skill, he stopped his trade, he stopped his vocation. Why? Because it was completed. He stopped because it was completed. In other words, was there anything left to be done? After the lady, ain't nothing left to be done. I wish that he had gone one more step, created the lady, and then given the man the ability to understand the lady. I mean, we just go, you know. But then she speaks, and then she starts talking, and she starts doing this, and I'm going like, we need some flowers here. So how much money are they going to cost? Well, $25 for a dozen red ones. $25 for something dead? Ain't gonna even last overnight. So what happens when you get them? The lady's happy. She's loved. I mean, it all works for her. And the guy is going like, so part of my training, since I've been married 47 years, I've been learning that you don't just go. Instead, you go, yes, dear. There you go. John, thank you so much. You're well trained. Could anything be added to creation? No. The text declares that creation was completed in its entire vast array. There are only two things to be done. Stop creating and then enjoy what's been created. Interesting. When you enjoy what's creating, your soul is refreshed. The secret. This is not just a day. This is not just a meeting. This is not just that you just stop doing something. This is resting like he rested. This is sacred. This comes from him. All about Shabbat is all about him. We can assign all we want to, we can all that, but on the bottom line is that the book of Hebrews says that we are to take a day and do what he did unto him. Rest in him. Well, rest means the lazy boy chair. No. It doesn't mean the lazy boy chair with the power for the big TV. Like now, okay. You can put on ESPN and rest the rest of the day. Right? It's not what it means. Well, what do you do that's not work? Well, you can start with, you're married, you can start with communication. It's free. You can start with talking with the lady, enjoying the lady. If you don't know, like I don't know nothing, man, I don't know nothing. So I'll ask questions like, what is that? And this is a strange object on the dining room table, and it's not edible. I used to say, what in the world is that? Okay, that didn't get me no points. So when I see something strange that I can't describe, I see something, and there's two things that I need to learn. It's beautiful, honey. And you say, oh, you're lying. No, no, no. See, wisdom. Wisdom. I'm going to say the words that cause the most good time to happen. It's beautiful, honey. And she goes, oh, thank you. And then you can ruin it by saying, what is it? What is it? Right? Been there, done that. So I don't even ask, what is it? So now I'm tasked with coming up with adjectives. Not the ones that I like to come up with, like, what kind of a thing is that? Or, that's ugly. Or, what? Do adjectives. Awesome. Good taste. Very appropriate for our home. That actually means our home, but. And you can find others. And if you do and you communicate, you are going to have Shabbat. You're going to have a good time. You will then enjoy what has been done and refresh your soul. The portion tells us that among other things, we're to do la'asot, Shabbat. In fact, the text implies that we're to make a special effort to do it. So Shabbat, you just don't run into Shabbat. You make effort to do it. You plan ahead, all those things. If Shabbat were to be a day of inactivity, then how would we want to do Shabbat? You ain't doing nothing. How are you going to do Shabbat? Come on, you can't say Shabbat is a do-nothing day. I mean, people try to tell me, well, I'm resting. This is when I sleep. I don't think that's what it means, by the way. Okay, you can take a nap. I ain't going to say nothing against nap. Sometimes naps happen. I sit in a chair and I hear words like, just a little while, honey. Okay, so when I was first married, that must mean seconds. A little while, honey. Then I learned that it's minutes. Then I learned that it's tens of minutes. So if it's just a little while, honey, time to take a nap. I won't get in trouble if I take a nap then. And just doze off, and I'll hear the words, it's almost ready, honey. And it's just like me, I'm about to quit. And you guys go like, you never quit when you say that. Don't say you're going to quit because you're not going to. You liar. Okay? I have something written here, then I got a song, and I'm going to finish. Like so many other things in the Torah, Shabbat, let me say this. Maybe you don't know this. Shabbat is a sacred picture. Shabbat is a sacred picture. Okay? What do you mean? It's not physical resting. You don't get that by physical resting. The Ars Scroll Humash, the publication that's made by the Jewish world in New York, Art Scroll, has an understanding, good understanding, when it says, what those scriptures say is that it is a token of respect for the Shabbat that one prepares for it ahead of time. Thus, one makes la'asot, Shabbat, by preparing for it so that it will be observed properly when it arrives. Like many other things in the Torah, Shabbat is a sacred picture, therefore. So the preparations that we make are spiritual and physical for Shabbat to begin. We start in the first of the week, we start Sundays preparing for Shabbat. Okay? Adjusting our schedule. What does that mean for me? Put gas in the car, not on Saturday. What does that mean? Don't take out the garbage on Saturday. What it also mean? Don't make the bed. Ah, hallelujah. I like that one. Etc. Carefully plan and shop so that Shabbat is for God. You can give it all to Him. This helps ensure that when the preparation day becomes, which is Friday, we're ready to do. Start the doing part so that we're ready for Shabbat when it begins. Okay, in conclusion, we came to meet face to face with the Holy One today. We came to meet face to face with the Holy One of Israel. We came to have a divine encounter, not a third class encounter, not encounters of the third kind or the first kind, just a divine encounter. We came to worship the Almighty today. We came to love on the Almighty today. We came to whisper words of love in His ears. We came to, as free moral agents, we came to express how much we love Him. We love You so much, Lord. We came to have fellowship with Him, which enables us to have fellowship with ourselves. If it weren't for the Lord, I wouldn't be friends with any of y'all. Maybe Kyle. We came to bask, B-A-S-K, in His presence. We came to shomer, the weekly date that we have with Him. We came to rest in Him. We came to recharge our creativity system. And we came to sing our love to Him. John, play the song.
L is for the way you look at me,
and I look at you.
O is for the only one I see. V is very, very extraordinary. E is even more than anyone. One that you adore can love is all that I can give to You, Lord. Love is more than just a game for two. Two in love can make it. Take my heart and please don't break it. Not. Love was made for me and Adonai.
Bert Kempfert wrote that song. get an orchestra called the Ben Burkhamford Orchestra. The first time I danced a song with my bride was this song.
L is for the way you
first time
look
we ever danced
at me. O is for the only
not Nat King Cole singing it.
I
it was just music.
V is very, very extraordinary. It's even more than anyone that you adore and love is all that I
that's all I can give him is my love
to you. Love
is more than a game.
It's more than
it's
just
a
game for two.
You
two
and I in love can make it.
Love
I can make,
make
it, with
it.
You, Lord.
Take my heart and please don't
break
bring
my heart.
It. Love was made for me
Tony and
you.
Adonai.
Love was made for me and
only another nine.
Love was made for me and you,
Lord. Amen. Please stand. Let's be dismissed.